Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Coming up, a federal judge in Detroit has made a ruling regarding the White House's recent executive order on immigrants and refugees. And then later in the show, just how much wisdom can you gain by listening to children?
My mouth was constantly involuntarily dropping open with their insights. And I realized I wasn't teaching them anything. They were teaching me. Or at the very least, that we were really engaging just as fellow perplexed human beings, one of whom happened to be a lot older than them.
But first, let's take a look at a couple of news items from this week with Vicki Barnett, the former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator, and Kim Sikkema, senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and former Republican legislative leader. This week, Republicans and Democrats in Lansing seem to agree it's time to expand the state's open record laws to cover the governor and the legislature. Michigan's only one of a couple of states that don't already require that. Vicki, this has been proposed before, even passed by the House, but the Senate killed it. What are the prospects this time?
I think the prospects are very good. There's multiple bills for one package. It seems to be a very strong bipartisan effort. They've worked very hard to craft some carve-outs for communications directly to constituents to solve some of the privacy issues that we have as legislators dealing with constituent issues. So I think there's a very good chance that this package will pass.
Ken, this seems to leave a sizable exemption. I would call it a loophole for correspondence between legislators and their constituents. I mean, who is a constituent? Could it be your voter in your district, or could it be some corporation who wants to talk about to lobby for some deal? What do you think about that?
Well, from my point of view, this exemption for constituent communication is frankly essential. From a legislator's standpoint, if a constituent writes you a letter or sends you an email about a problem, I don't think it's fair to have that, you know, subject to FOIA. That constituent, by name, has a certain kind of problem or issue that needs to be solved. And frankly, I think it's a good exemption, and I don't think it's going to pass a legislature without that kind of exemption in it.
Well, let me give you an example. Let's say that you know that John Smith gave Ken Sikkema a bunch of money in the last election, and you want to see what kind of correspondence is going on between those two. You'd be prohibited from doing that.
Well, it's not going to be perfect from a reporter or media standpoint who would want everything disclosed and subject to FOIA. But I will just reiterate my point. When I was in the legislature and this issue came up, I took the same position that the current majority leader, Arlen Meekhoff, has taken about sort of constituent communication, that without that kind of exemption in there, and for that reason, that it's just, you don't, it's not fair to a constituent to have their name and issue and problem potentially disclosed. And for that reason, I just don't think it's going to pass without that kind of exemption in it. Now, is it perfect? No, it's not going to be perfect, but I think that exemption is essential.
Yeah, Lester, I called some of the bill sponsors and talked to them about the FOIA and the exemption. And the loophole that you're talking about could possibly be there, but the fact is, if you are a business calling a legislator and you are not a constituent, and it's not a constituent problem that you're trying to resolve. And sometimes we do have businesses with constituent problems related to tax refunds and tax questions, then you are subject to the FOIA and the communications. So, for example, there was a story a few years ago about Brooks Patterson reaching out to several legislators to talk about redistricting in Oakland County for the county commission. And none of that was subject to FOIA because we didn't have an Open Records Act. But if Mr. Patterson had contacted anybody other than his particular state representative, and that state representative then contacted other state representatives regarding that issue, those communications would be all FOIA-able. In addition, lobbyists are not considered constituents under these bills, and any communication between a lobbying organization is therefore subject to FOIA. As Ken said, it's not going to be perfect, but it is a move, a strong move in the right direction.
Let's look at another story this week. Michigan Democrats say the state's congressional and legislative districts are gerrymandered to give Republicans an unfair advantage. Attorney Mark Brewer, the former state chair of the Democratic Party, is handling that lawsuit. Vicki, what evidence will Brewer and the Democrats use to convince the courts that it's unfairly gerrymandered?
I think there's several bits of information that they're going to use, some quite compelling. And that is the idea that Democrats are packed into very concentrated districts under the current redistricting scheme, which means that the number of Democratic votes in the state for state representative. Let me go back for a second and give you a real example of Oakland County in this last election. There were more Democratic votes for state representatives, regardless of district, in Oakland County. And yet the lion's share of state representatives are Republican. And that's because the districts are packed in the Democratic areas with Democrats. So you could have very uncompetitive districts. And then the Republican districts are spread over a larger area for more representation. And you can see it clearly. The other argument that they will probably use is the argument on gerrymandering and the way that the districts were cut. And if you see some of the congressional districts, I'm telling you, the one I'm in, the 14th, is just a nightmare of gerrymandering and salamander shapes. It's really kind of ridiculous.
Ken, Democrats in Wisconsin had some success in federal court with a similar suit. What kind of defense might Republicans offer?
Well, this Wisconsin decision by the federal district court is potentially changes the game here. Now, I say potentially because ultimately the U.S. Supreme Court is going to have to make a decision. And, you know, until that happens, we just simply don't know. The lawsuit you're referring to in Michigan, or the potential lawsuit that Mark Brewer wants to file, is going to be depend any of a success or failure is going to be a function of how the Supreme Court rules on this Wisconsin decision. So I don't think anybody's in a position to know yet whether this lawsuit is going to, you know, have any real impact or not. It could, but it depends on the U.S. Supreme Court.
The Michigan Unemployment Insurance Agency reached an agreement with plaintiffs in a federal lawsuit this week. The state agency wrongly accused tens of thousands of people of cheating on unemployment claims. There's still, though, a separate class action suit before the Michigan Court of Claims. Attorney General Bill Schuette is fighting that class action suit. If the state was wrong, which led to a lot of grief for a lot of people, including garnished wages and so forth, Vicki, why is Schuette fighting against them?
I don't know. I think part of his job is to protect the interests of the state, and there's potentially millions of dollars at stake. Let's not forget that the MIDAS system, the electronic system used, falsely accused claimants of fraud without giving them due process. And then the state went after these folks and started to garnish their wages, take their federal income tax refunds and their state income tax refunds, and then slap them with up to a 400% penalty. So if you were accused of fraud over $1,000, you suddenly had $4,000 to pay back in addition to the $1,000 plus penalties and interest. It was outrageous. It caused tremendous stress. And then there's concerns about the statute of limitations, and these people were not informed of these actions and that they were accused of fraud until their appeals period had already lapsed. This is a mess, and it is unconscionable for the state to continue to fight paying these people back.
Ken, one of the things that struck me was that the agency actually was in denial for a long time, and I kept thinking, man, this is like Flint all over again. What did you make of that? Did the Snyder administration not learn a lesson?
Well, I had the same reaction, Lester, that, you know, when the state sort of for 2 years kind of refused to fess up to this problem, you know, it does sort of feel like Flint, but it's not a matter of did they learn the Flint lesson, because this was happening at the same time. But it's just sort of that kind of attitude and mentality is disturbing. I mean, we saw it in Flint where the state basically said there wasn't any problem with the water for, you know, 18 months, and then finally had to fess up and say, yeah, we were wrong. There was a problem. And you have this same kind of phenomenon playing out here with this unemployment claim issue. And it's just, I guess, as a citizen, you look at it, and that's not the kind of state government you want.
Ken Sekema is a Republican and senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants, as well as a former legislative leader. Vicki Barnett is a Democrat, the former mayor of Farmington Hills, and a former legislator. Thank you both for talking with me, and have a great weekend.
You too, Lester.
Hey, thank you.